Number 10, a mivakish.
Yesterday we spoke about mafsidim and ways to get around some of those mafsidim, and I neglected to mention two things that I wanted to add very quickly. Number one was another eitzah that had to do with the 36-inch Yetzer box that we spoke about at length, and that is that a lot of times it's very hard for people when they're home, because they're home and the television is on and so on. When they're not home during camp, they don't even have a taiva to watch. It's an amazing thing. When you're in yeshiva, you also don't have such a taiva to watch. I speak to guys in the dorm every year, and they tell me that even though there is a television, even in the high school dorm, there's televisions all over the place. Some of them are bigger than the Aron Kodesh downstairs in the Beis Medrash. Huge things. But the truth is, when you're here, there's no pull to go watch it. So another eitzah is just to try to avoid the issue, if possible. That was one thing I wanted to mention. In terms of the subtle issues that we spoke about yesterday, in terms of mitos, for some reason sometimes these things don't come across totally clear, so I tried to think of another very important example of a subtle thing. When Talmidim come back from the summer and they see each other for the first time from the summer, how do they greet each other? Well, there's one way that you see people on television who greet each other. It's called slap me five. You know, slap me five, how you doing? Slap me five like this, slap me five like this. Or, I don't know, all different forms and formats of saying hello. While the Jewish way is very simple, it's putting out your hands and saying Shalom Aleichem. And the truth is it a big thing? Not a big thing. It's a subtle thing, but the proper Jewish way is to say Shalom Aleichem, how are you? Not, how you doing? Hey! That's not exactly, but if you watch a lot of the media, you'll see that that is the way that it's done. So therefore, this is a subtle thing. It is a little bit of a hesed. It is a little bit of something that's not so good. And again, you have to come up with ways to be mechazik yourself to go away and stay distant from that type of mitos hesed. Continues in the Filthy Sharm. In Kate Apo, if that's the case, Ech lo yitzorech lohotis man al ha'ir hazeh. How can we not say that we are required to spend time analyzing these things? If they can take us away, we've got to come up with ways to stay close. If there are emsoyim and tachbulos to acquire good mitos and yirish shemayim, then we've got to think about how to do that. It takes thought, it takes ear, it takes analysis. How can we not spend time? And spend time doing what? The Mesillas Yesharim breaks it down into three categories. I underline this line in my Mesillas Yesharim. Three steps. Number one, L'das Amitas HaDvarim. The first thing is you have to know the truth of these words. That there is a goal to work towards. There is something that's important. It's a hashkafa that I'm supposed to acquire a mida of not getting distracted while studying. While I'm studying, whatever it is I'm studying, it's a personality characteristic. It doesn't necessarily even have to pertain to learning. I'm studying for a chemistry exam, but I get so easily distracted. That's not a good mida. That's not a good mida. But I know that. So I know that the goal is I'm going to try not to get distracted, and I'm going to have to work on that. I agree it's true. That's step one. Number two, L'das HaDerech L'Knosam. You have to know the way to acquire that mida. You have to come up with and think about some way to make sure that you won't get distracted. Be it not having potato chips next to you while you're doing your work, or other things, to make sure that you're not distracted. And thirdly, ulakaimam, to stay on that level. It's one thing to get there, but it's another thing to stay there. Miyale b'har Hashem, miyakum dimkom kacho. Who's going to go up to the Har Hashem is one stage. Who's going to stay there? That's another thing. A lot of times people, after they hear a Moshe Shmuz, they get all excited. You're supposed to dive with more kavanah. Beautiful. So that night, Myra is gevaldik. But by Shacharis, the next morning, it's forgotten. Happens to everyone. That's normal. It's natural. Miyale b'har Hashem, but then miyakum dimkom kacho. Who's going to stay there? We got to try to figure out a way, once we reach a certain madrega, to stay at that madrega. So three stages. Number one, to recognize and to know the goal. Number two, how do I get there? Number three, how do I keep it there? And in terms of this aspect of, in terms of this issue of being distracted while studying, which is a very important one for boys in high school, or people of any age, at a job, at work, you know, they say that in college what they have is what's called a 50-minute hour. That's what it's called. Because a college course, which is a twice-a-week course, a two-credit course, is going to be 2 hours a week. But if you actually sit there and time the classes, they're not 2 hours. You have a class on Monday for 50 minutes, and a class on Wednesday for 50 minutes. Why do you need 10 minutes to get to the next class? That's the way it's set up. So it's called college hour. College hour is 50 minutes. It's a real term. However, if you're learning b'chagrusa, you cannot say that you're being mekayim soru umadah by saying, I'm only learning 50 minutes in the hour. A college hour. I'm learning, but I'm learning a college hour. My night state is an hour, but it's a college hour. I only learned 50 minutes. It doesn't work. If it's an on and off type of learning, it's going to be full of holes. If you're constantly distracted, it's full of holes. That's not the way to do it. That's not called keeping your eye on the ball. You got to keep your eye on the ball while it's being thrown by the pitcher, all the way until the point that you hit the ball with the bat. And then you got to start running towards the base. You got to keep your eye on the ball. You can't say, well, listen, 90% of the time that the ball is coming from the pitcher, it's a home plate, I'll keep my eye on the ball. It doesn't work that way. You're not going to hit the ball that way. It doesn't work. So we know that it's true that we have to have this focus on not being distracted while studying. Well, how do we go about doing that? How do we go about doing that? There was once a Rebbe here in the yeshiva who every year, probably more than once, but I have it on tape. I have some of this year on tape. They're very interesting. He was reading a Tosfos. And he read the Tosfos. Vim Tomar, fly ball! Fly ball to deep left field! V'yesh lomar, and he started reading Tosfos Teretz. Never read the Kasha. V'yesh lomar, and then he would explain, this is what happens in most boys' minds in the middle of shiur. Vim Tomar, the Rebbe's actually reading on, but this guy's thinking about what he saw last night or what he's interested in, other things he's interested in. And then finally V'yesh lomar starts to think, and then he blames the Rebbe. I don't understand the shiur. I can't follow such a shiur. Whose fault is that? Distraction. We know that we can't learn that way. We understand that. So we have to then try to come up with ways to acquire the ability to keep the eye on the Tosfos. To acquire the ability not to get distracted. Very important. And then to stay there. Continues in the Mesillas Yesharim. May ayin tovah hachokhmah hazot b'lev ha'adam. From where will come this wisdom of fixing ourselves into the heart of a man? Into the heart of man, in lo yivakshen. How will it happen if we don't seek it? And I've underlined this word yivakshena because there's a lot to talk about in terms of this word yivakshena. What does it mean to be a mevakish? Someone who desires. We all know that it says in L'David Hashem Ori, which we're saying this month, achas sho'alti meis asher osa mevakish. Simple shot. To ask for something, sha'al, and to ask for something, to be mevakesh, is the same thing. So the fact that the pasuk repeats, one thing, sha'al t'meis Hashem, osa avakesh, that's the one thing that I ask for, repeats to ask, it implies very strongly that to be mevakesh is adding something over to be sha'al. You're not just asking. To be mevakesh is to plead. To be mevakesh is to beg. I really want it. It's not just that I'm asking, can I please have this? I really want it. I have a deep desire for this thing. Sometimes people here in yeshiva, when they're 21, 22 years old, and they start thinking about shidduchim. And sometimes they'll ask me, I have to go out on a date with a girl. How am I supposed to dress on that date? And I would tell them, you put on your Shabbos suit. I'm not comfortable with that. It's not the real me. It's a fake. I want to show the real me. I hear the time. But let's say you're going on a job interview. Are you going to come in your ripped jeans? With your sneakers? You want to get a job working for IBM? A white collar company is the reason why they call it a white collar company. You're going to come without a tie? And you expect to get a job without a haircut? That's what you expect, but that's not the real me. I don't want to fool them on the interview. Well, then you're the fool, because you're not going to get the job. What's the point of dressing up like that? The point is you want to show them what you want to be. This is what I can be. This is my potential. This is what I'm aiming toward, especially when it comes to marriage. I'm aiming towards a person who's a mensch in every respect of the word. The way I talk, the way I act, and the way I look. I am a well-groomed individual. That's what I am. I am, well, you know, I like to dress comfortably. When I come home after I'm married, I might take my shoes off. I'm not going to wear my tie with my top button buttoned every second of the day and night. It's true. But this is what I want to be. This is what I'm aiming towards. I'm aiming towards being higher, being better. That's mevakish. A mevakish is a person who says, not, I'm comfortable with the way I am. It's okay, yeah, I'm okay the way I am. There's nothing wrong with me, but I want more. That's mevakish. Just to ask for more won't happen. You have to desire it deep down. You have to beg for it. You have to plead for it. You have to want it. When it comes to Yiddishkeit, when it comes to mitos, if a person is not a mevakish of it, it's not going to happen. Just to say it's a nice thing, you know, I learned a little bit of a mussar sefer, yeah, I want to have better mitos. It's not going to work. You have to want it desperately. A mevakish. The story is told about a rich gvir, a very rich man, who came to the Nevardik Yeshiva in Europe. The Astor of Yosef Yoizel Horowitz, the Altar of Nevardik, he wanted the best boy in his yeshiva to marry his daughter. And he would support this person in learning for many years, what they call ketz. He would live by his in-laws, and they would pay 6 years, 10 years, whatever amount of time it was. There are different standards in different communities. And the top bachur in the yeshiva said, that's what I want for my daughter. I'm willing to pay the money for such a boy. So the Alter Nevardik said, okay, let's walk into the Beis Medrash. He came into the Beis Medrash and he said, over there in that corner is the best boy in the yeshiva. He's the biggest amkin in the yeshiva. He's so deep. His conceptual understanding, lumdus, is better than anyone else in the yeshiva. So the rich man asked, is he the best boy in the yeshiva? He said, well, I don't know if you say he's the best, he's the biggest amkin in the yeshiva, he's the biggest lumdus in the yeshiva. He's the best boy in the yeshiva. Let's take a look at the boy over in that corner. That boy is the biggest bucky in the yeshiva. Shas, Rashi, Tosis on his fingertips. Literally on his fingertips. You can ask him, point in the middle of the Tosis anywhere in any Masechta, he'll finish the Tosis for you. His bakiyas is phenomenal. Is he the best boy in the yeshiva? Can't really say he's the best boy in the yeshiva. He's the biggest bucky in the yeshiva. I want the best boy in the yeshiva. That's what I came here for. And he went to another corner. And he said, this boy is the biggest tzaddik in the yeshiva. Chesed is his middle name. Anytime anyone needs something done, he's right there. He's right there. He does for people. It's unbelievable. He collects sucker for Aniyim and this. He does so many things. Is he the best boy in the yeshiva? I want the best boy in the yeshiva. Well, he's the biggest Baal Chesed in the yeshiva. Is he the best boy in the yeshiva? And he went to the fourth corner. And the fourth corner said, this boy's Yerushalayim is unreal. His davening, his diktuk b'mitzvos, there's nothing like him in the entire yeshiva. But again, is he the best boy in the yeshiva? I can't say that he is. Who's the best boy in the yeshiva? I want to see the best boy in the yeshiva. So the Alter of Nevardik said to him, okay, well we're going to have to leave the Beis Medrash for that. And he went to a back room in the yeshiva, and there was a boy sitting there, a young man. And he was just quietly learning by himself. He didn't look like anything necessarily special. Didn't look like he was the biggest lamdan necessarily. He was just learning a simple Gemara. Didn't look like he was the biggest bucky. He didn't have a whole shas that seemed to be on his fingertips. Chesed, he was sitting in a room. Tzidkus, couldn't look like he was doing anything special. He was just sitting and learning. This is the best boy in the yeshiva. Why? What's special about him? He's a mevakish. He wants what all four of them have. He wants it all. And he being a mevakish is probably going to go the furthest. As the story goes, that individual did not marry this rich man's daughter. But it became known who that young man was. It was the stipler, Yaakov Yisrael Kanievsky. When the stipler passed away, it was the summer after I was in 10th grade. I had never heard of him. Echilas Yaakov, a sefer that he published, was not quoted so much by my Rebbeim. But he was in Eretz Yisrael considered one of the Gedolei Hador. Somebody said a Hesper for him in camp. I remember listening, didn't even make such an impression on me. 8 or 9 months later, in Azar of that same year, first Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky passed away, and then Rav Moshe Feinstein passed away. And at Rav Moshe's funeral, which we came in from Connecticut, the yeshiva brought buses, we came in, somebody, 75,000, 100,000 people were there at the Levaya on the Lower East Side, and most of that space were in Yiddish. I remember Rav David Lifshitz, I had never met him before, but I remember somebody telling me that Rav David Lifshitz speaking, I had never even heard of him or met him, and his crying was tremendous, it was just tremendous that, and then one or two of the speakers spoke in English, because there's so many schools who came who were not Yiddish speaking children. And one of the things they emphasized again and again and again was how the three pillars were lost in such a short amount of time. The stipler, Rav Yaakov, and Rav Moshe. In America, Rav Yaakov, Rav Moshe, everyone knew. In Eretz Yisrael, everyone knew the stipler. In fact, when Rav Moshe passed away, one of my rabbis in Eretz Yisrael told me, he was one of the 10 people who watched over the Aron after it came into the airport overnight before the burial the next day. And there was concern that there would be no one at the funeral. Because Rav Moshe was not so well known in Eretz Yisrael. It was unbelievable. He was mamish the Gadol HaDor, and he was not so well known until Rav Lezer Shaff from Panovich Yeshiva ordered that people should start putting out signs that they should say who this person was. I mean, he had published funds, Ibris Moshe, but they didn't know because there were poskim in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Yosher, Rav Shlomo Zalman. There were other poskim. So they didn't think in terms of Rav Moshe Feinstein. So after Shaf put out all these things and it became very well known, there were 250,000 people who showed up at the Levaya. There were a lot of people. But these were the big three. These were the big three. When I was your age, it was the stipler and Rav Moshe and Rav Yaakov. Those were the big three. The stipler was Mavakish. And people who followed anything about his life, and you could read the biographies, you saw it in everything that he did, that he was a Mavakish. All he wanted, was to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to serve Klal Yisrael, which he did for decades. His son, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, is today considered one of the Gedolei Hador, one of the biggest masmidim in the world. I remember when I met him, and he was learning from a sefer, he was in his study in his house, and I asked him a shaila. I was afraid that he was going to be such a masmid, because people told me he's such a masmid, I didn't even think he was going to look at me while I asked the shaila. He did look at me while I asked the shaila. He gave me an answer in maybe three words, which is the way he does things. He answers very curtly, very short, then he went right back to his sefer. It's unbelievable. His mother was unbelievable. And Rav Chaim Kanievsky's father was Rav Yoshev, and these are four shalem. So these are people who appreciated who the stipler was. The stipler, who did he marry? He married the Chazanish's sister. Chazanish was his brother-in-law. Chazanish never had children. And they used to live in the same house for many years. So the stipler absorbed a lot from the Chazanish. After the Chazanish passed away, it was understood that the stipler was then the leader of Torah Jewry in Eretz Yisrael. So he passed away. And in 1985, the stipler. He was a real Mavakish. This is what a yeshiva bacher has to aim to be. I'm a Bakish. And I'll conclude with the following statement that my ninth grade Rebbe, Rav Moshe Kamen Shlita, used to tell us all the time. There are three types of bachrim in yeshiva. Three. There are those who learn. There are those who want to learn, but they don't learn. And there are those who, even though they don't even want to learn, they want to learn. There are those who learn, those who want to learn, and those who want to learn. And he used to say, if a person isn't on that madrega, they don't even belong in yeshiva. Because yeshiva is a place where people have to be in mavakish. People have to want. If they don't even want to have the desire to learn, what are they doing in yeshiva? What are they doing in yeshiva? Baruch Hashem, in this year, I think most people are beyond the want to learn stage. Many people are on the want to learn. I want to learn. I have the yitzhar to do this, I have the yitzhar to do that. I'm distracted. There's so many distractions. But I do want to learn. I sincerely want to learn. There are those who already learn. Their learning is clearly their thing. They already want to learn. Ez Hashem, if we all have this attitude of being a mevakesh, we can all achieve higher and higher levels towards becoming true b'nei tzaddik.